it's getting warmer. More precipitation is going to fall as rain. It could be very heavy rain because global warming also makes the atmosphere juicier. And the Colorado headwaters is identified by the researchers as one of the areas most at risk. Keith Musselman, the lead researcher, is at the Institute of Arctic and Alpine Research at the University of Colorado. He said he was pretty astonished at the findings that they came up with, and the computer models for it took a full year to run through all the scenarios to get the accurate numbers. So they're very confident of their results. And as early as 2008, the ski company and some avalanche experts in Colorado worked together to do a study called Climate Change in Western Ski Areas, Potential Changes in the Timing of Wet Avalanches and Snow Quality for the Aspen Ski Area in the years 2030 and 2100. And they were looking at exactly this issue of more rain events on snow and how that's going to affect the avalanche hazard. And it's the same thing all over the world. I was at a science conference this spring, and I heard a researcher talk about giant slush flows up in the European Arctic that they had never seen before. Nobody had ever seen anything like it. And then another guy chimed in and talked about these permafrost mudslides, where huge slabs of permafrost were just breaking loose all at once, 10 feet deep and oozing down the mountainside. Then the third guy said, yeah, we're having a hard time coming up with new names and categories for these extreme events that we're seeing every year.
You mentioned in the article that Switzerland is revisiting avalanche hazard maps with new climate data.
Correct.
Reflecting the changing
Correct.
Risks.
They're constantly updating their avalanche hazard maps. In Switzerland, they've stepped up monitoring of alpine rock areas where they think permafrost melting could literally be, you know, prying loose big slabs of rock. And that's all in the name of public safety. And I think Switzerland's pretty far ahead of the curve on those types of things.
And so as we bring it back to Colorado, what are some of the things that you see that people can do to prepare at this point?
Every community faces different types of challenges. If I think back to my old stomping grounds of Summit County, and I think obviously getting prepared for more weather extremes, perhaps incredibly wet years with weird storms with a lot of rain, and then times of extreme heat and drought. Specifically in terms of adaptation for those events, you know, obviously water storage, water use is really important. And I hate to always bring it back to planning, but a lot of scientists I've talked to have said that people still really aren't, when it comes to climate-related extremes, aren't really thinking outside of the box of, you know, what they know from history. I think, you know, geologic mapping and then taking whatever measures are necessary. I'm thinking about I-70. You know, permafrost is not very well mapped in the Rocky Mountains as compared to the Alps. And, you know, maybe there should be a little more focus on doing that to see if it, even if there are any areas susceptible.
So absolutely recognition of these events as they're occurring and looking forward to more events and thinking ahead about how we can prepare is going to be really important. Anything else that you'd like to add, Bob?
I'd like to say that one of the big things I learned in some of my climate reporting this summer had to do with social resilience. What I mean by that is networks of people who are prepared in advance to look after each other when things happen. I talked to a bunch of people in a community along the Danube River that has seen horrific flooding twice in the last 15 years. And one of the streets that's most affected now, they have this incredible neighborhood network for responding to those events because they don't want to move away. You know, they don't just want to abandon it, but they need to be ready and be prepared. And the thing about being neighbors goes on the global scale too, you know, and there's a lot of concern and among the people I speak with about global solidarity and whether that's falling apart with regard to climate action and really trying to address climate change at a meaningful level at the scale that's needed. And we have to show solidarity in that area too with our neighbors, with each other, and we're kind of a global community. So we need to get it together.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Bob Berwin, and for all the work you're doing.
Thanks so much. Take care.
That's it for this week's News Brief. For KDNK News, I'm Raleigh Burley.